Good morning, everybody. Well, today I've got a story for you, and it's from a collection of short stories called Listening In by Jenny Eclair, Eclair like in the cake. And it's meant to be for reading aloud. So it was apparently a Sunday Times bestseller, and I hope you'll enjoy it. The first story, and it's one of my first stories from this book, and I've chosen one called Christine Paints. It was Tony's idea to move to the country, and I do love it, though the commute is a bore. But as Tony says, you only do 4 days a week now, Christine, and Oxford's not a million miles from London. In any case, he promised to give me a lift to the station every morning, and he did until he lost his licence, and now it's all a bit complicated. But I manage it. He was so mortified, but as he said, it's not easy just nipping out for a pint when you're in the middle of nowhere. Luckily, he only got a 6-month ban. So really, it's not such a big deal. Tillinghome might not be the centre of the universe, but we wanted a bit of peace and quiet so that Tony could write, and finally, after 2 years, he thinks he might have something. Only he's not sure if it's a novel or a play, and he won't show me in case I jinx it. Tony was an actor when we first met, but he never got the big break, which has been hard, especially when some of the people he was at drama school with have done quite well. We turn the telly off if one of the lucky ones turns up. I work in HR for a large charitable organisation, but really it's very boring. So I'm glad we downsize, and I've cut my hours. It's not like we have to worry about children, thank goodness for small mercies, that's what I say. Tony gets a bit claustrophobic in the cottage. He finds the ceilings very low, but that's 17th century thatch for you. It's actually very pretty in a chocolate box kind of way. Tony wants a studio built in the garden. Quite a few people round here have that sort of thing. There's money in the area, lots of barn conversions and glass extensions. I've said, well, maybe next year. But let's face it, I've already had the expense of a new car this year after Tony put ours in a ditch. I thought we could make do with a cheap little runabout, but we got a bit carried away in the car dealership, and I've ended up with a convertible, which is actually rather fun. You only live once and all that. I have to say there are lots of perks to working part-time and living in the country. Apart from having to buy all our weekly food from the train station, because, as Tony says, he can't write a novel and stroke or a play if he's going to spend half his life waiting for a village bus to take him to the nearest butcher's. Fortunately, there's a Marks at Paddington, though Tony keeps talking about growing our own veg. You get a lot of garden for your money here. Ours is mostly covered in rotting apples at the moment, a great big maggoty carpet of them. I've made some chutney, but it isn't very nice. And Tony's not eating puddings at the moment, so that's a no to apple pie and crumble. It's just such a shame to see them all full of wasps and caved in. Such a waste. Tony was going to make cider, but he seems to have gone off the idea. He gets his wine delivered now. Well, it makes sense. There's not a late night offie for miles. I don't miss Kentish Town, but I think Tony does. He says he misses the culture, the theatre and the galleries, but I think he misses being able to nip out at 2 a.m. to get some fags. Anyway, I can't remember the last time we did anything cultural together. Besides, I still go to London 4 times a week. Could always come to town with me, but really there's no need. There's plenty of activities around here, you just have to get involved in them. I do a Friday morning art class, beginner's watercolours. I thought it would be nice to do it together, so we went into Oxford, and I spent a fortune on paints and paper. And Tony wanted to get an easel, but I thought we should wait and see if easels were provided. And they are. We've got a 2-hour slot in the church hall after the over-60s Zumba. Tony says maybe I should give that a go too, but I'm not 60. And anyway, I'm not the one that puts on 2.5 stone since we moved. That's why he's off his puddings. It's like someone blew him up with a bicycle pump. He says fresh air makes him fat. He's been to the class a couple of times, but he thinks it's all a bit slow. He got bored with the rules of perspective and finding your vanishing point, but he said he didn't think Pollock or Warhol bothered with the rules of thirds or dynamics composition. They just threw paint around in any case, and he felt watercolour was the wrong medium for him, and he would feel more drawn to oils. I think he might have used the word visceral. Hugh is our teacher, very patient. We're a mixed ability group. There's a couple who've been coming for years. An old boy, retired, must be knocking 80. He likes a seascape. We call him the Turner of Tillinghome. And his wife, who does a lovely cloud formation. Skies can be very therapeutic. Hugh says, don't be scared of the paper. It's only paper. Plenty of water, that's another trick. Load your brush. He wears a funny little denim hat like Donovan used to. Tony says he's an idiot. We have a charity exhibition every 6 months for a local school. Special needs kids. Cheese and wine and a blues band. I wish Tony was in the blues band, but he's not found it very easy to make friends. It's because he's that bit younger. A lot of people around here are retired. And Tony's young for his age. He's 54, but he keeps quiet about it. Most of us do two paintings for the exhibition. People are very generous. As I say, there's plenty of money around here. Tonight's sale is hosted by Bella Cheeseman because we've had an asbestos disaster at the church hall and it's closed for the foreseeable. So Mrs. Cheeseman, that was divorced, bit of a looker, has very kindly stepped in because she's got a long barn in the garden. That used to be her ex-husband's recording studio. And now she uses it for Pilates and, well, us. I think she's drawn the line at the over-60s Zumba. And I don't know whether Brownies are doing their thing, but for the time being, we have a temporary new home and the views are spectacular. Bella has an extraordinary figure. She sat for us a few times. I think she likes taking her clothes off. She's very casual about it. Well, you would be if you were a size 12 with a year-round tan line. She's what I call very topiaried around certain areas. I have to say someone's done a very nice job on her barn conversion. It's very swish. Guest accommodation at the far end, bedroom, kitchenette and ensuite, which is useful because it means none of us have to tramp into the house to use her loo. I think she's hoping the exhibition will mostly feature herself in the nuddy and all the male villagers will struggle to hide their priapic excitement. She's two teenage sons, so you'd think she'd know better. But then, maybe if I looked like that in my late 40s, I'd have wanted to flaunt it too. She's hired caterers. Normally, we all just contribute something. Sausage rolls, homemade curry puffs. But apparently she's doing sushi. We get a bit giddy on exhibition night. Everyone makes a bit of an effort to dress up, and no one knows who's chosen what to put on. All I know is mine will be hung last minute because it's a Thursday night, and I'm coming straight from work. I went into the office semi-glad ragged up this morning, and added a bit of sparkle in the ladies' loo before I left. I've got my paintings in the back of the car. One's the sunset I've been working on for the past couple of weeks. It's from a photo, but Hugh doesn't mind that. He says, whatever inspires you is fine. The other one is very simple. Pen and ink and a bit of wash. The only bit of colour in it is a scarf. A yellow paisley scarf. I saw it on the bed in her guest room when I used the bathroom last week. It was on the floor by the side of the hastily made bed. I knew it was Tony's. I'd bought it for him. I picked it up and gave it a sniff. Grapefruit body wash, silk cut and red wine. My husband's signature scent. And the relief was overwhelming. Tony's helping to hang the paintings. Not mine, I said. I'll be bringing mine from work. I'm taking them in to show the girls. He sort of rolled his eyeballs at that. Tony doesn't really understand how it feels to be fond of work colleagues and how sometimes you want to say goodbye. Because I'm not going back and I haven't even told him. He'll find out soon enough. Last time we had a show, I sold my Oranges in the Moonlight for £150 and my River Walk for £75, which is a tad disappointing, though I have to admit some of my ducks did look a bit mutant. I always give my painting titles. I think untitled is very lazy. As they say, every picture tells a story, and the least you can do is give the person looking at it a clue. I've decided what I want to call my sunset. It's just the other one that's bothering me, but I'm sure I'll come up with something before we kick off, which is in about 5 minutes. Bella's going to be giving a speech. I think it should be Hugh. After all, it's his class. But as he says, if Bella's hadn't given us a home, we wouldn't have a class. He's very generous like that. Judging by the number of cars parked up, it looks like a good turnout. I'm not sure how Tony will have got here. Maybe he's been here all day helping. Right, let's get these paintings indoors. I made sure I wrapped them up safely in a blanket. We don't need anything else to break. A marriage is enough. It's odd, I feel quite calm. Here we go. I creep in through the back door. Hugh has saved me some hanging space at the end of the far wall. I'm next to Lillian Gilmore's Radishes and Gemo Sleeping, which is a portrait of a very old dog. I spot Tony on the other side of the room. He's looking very smart. And Mrs. Cheeseman seems to have roped him in as a wine waiter. Bella's gone full arty. Ripped jeans, boho embroidered blouse and glimpse of a fuchsia-coloured bra. I put my sunset up first, pleased with the way my colours bleed down from the sky into the sea and onto the sand. It's possibly one of the most abstract things I've attempted. He was thrilled, apparently, that I'm letting go, and I am. I'm letting go of all the things I no longer want in my life, including the job that has bored me for the last 30 years, but which I do because my husband was too creative to work. I stick my label with the title Future next to the sunset, and as Bella walks to the microphone, I unwrap the second picture and hang it next to my sunset. As I straighten it up and step back, Bella is tapping on the microphone, and everybody obediently stands still and hushes for the speech. Apart from Tony, who begins to make his way towards me, his expression changing with every step. The closer he gets, the more he recognises himself. I've drawn Tony naked. The flab of his belly and the fold of his double chin are in repose. He's sprawled on an unidentifiable bed, and I may have been mean with the proportions of his manhood, but no doubt Bella knows the truth. He's unshaven and unsightly, bloated and washed up. The yellow scarf lies crumpled on the floor next to an empty bottle of wine. It's the only bit of colour in the piece. I wanted it to stand out. I wanted them to know how I knew, the sheer carelessness of it. My husband wasted our marriage, and now he's pushing his way towards me with a real sense of urgency. But his progress is hampered by the fact that he still has a tray full of drinks in his hand, and people are stopping him. After all, rumour has it that Bella has provided a particularly nice Chablis. And before Bella starts speaking, I seize my chance. It's 7 o'clock, and I slip out of the door, leaving my husband reading the title to his portrait, a title which simply reads Past. Outside, he is waiting by my car. We've had this planned for a while now. I'm running away with you, and we're going to live in Tuscany. We're going to buy a villa, and you will teach art, and I will enjoy myself, and I wish I could say we were driving off into a beautiful sunset like the one I've just hung in the barn, priced at £125, but unfortunately it's dark and a bit drizzly. But as I make my way over to a man with a funny denim hat, I've never felt happier. Behind me, I hear a crash. It sounds like someone may have dropped a tray of drinks, but I could be imagining things. Well, serve him right, that's what I say. Don't know what you think, Tim. Don't you deserve that, don't you? So I found that quite entertaining, and I hope you do. And I hope to be back with you very soon with some poetry or some more of these sort of stories. Bye for now.